aboard, you people.
Yes. Yeah. TGIF.
Yeah.
Happy Friday.
It's a GIF.
It's a GIF?
To GIF. Now, there's a little problem with the weekend, and I don't want to freak anybody out, but I'm already completely freaked out, so I'm just saying.
That doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, I come pre-freaked out.
I know, you do, and that doesn't help.
And so, I don't like the snow.
Well, I don't like the snow when it's the end of April. I love the snow sometimes in January and February. It can be nice to have either a dusting or even lots of snow to go. Kids can go sledding. That's not bad.
Christmas maybe
is a great time.
Yes. Okay. I'm
just
give
one
you
day. That's all you got.
I'm going to give you this. That on Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve is a perfect time for a little light, you know, snow shower, a little dusting of the, you know, nice flakes gently returning to Earth.
Right.
I love the idea of that. A little something like that. Maybe you go to midnight mass and you're walking home. You still got the wine in your hand. I don't. Are you supposed to have that at midnight mass?
Nope. I don't think you should.
I bring a red Solo cup to midnight mass. That's how I roll.
Pour a little more in there, will you, Father? A little more.
It's more hygienic. I would recommend it.
Yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea.
It probably is. But
bless my Solo cup, Father.
Yes. And it's a beautiful starlit night. And when I'm walking with my Solo cup, it's like...
That shouldn't be that way.
Sorry, God. That's a nice, an image in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gentle snow like that, that's fine. And then I want it to be 70 again after January 1st.
That's when I'm done with snow. After the holidays. January 2nd, I'm done. All I care about is making the trek to spring. That's all.
I don't mind some snow in January. I do not appreciate it in April in any form.
Right. And this is the thing now, and every year, and I had a whole speech that I gave myself on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
A little pep talk?
Yeah, I gave myself a pep talk on Monday.
Staring yourself in the mirror?
Yeah. And I said, you know what I'm not going to do this year? Because Monday was what was it, 22nd or whatever?
Yeah, 22nd
okay.
of April.
So on Monday, I'm like, oh, I'm getting ready for spring. And I'm not going to do that thing where I'm constantly asking, if it gets cold or it snows again, are the leaves not going to come out this summer? That is the thing. That's the thing I freak myself out with every year. And I say, I bring it up every year on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like my 30th freaking year on the radio in Chicago.
Wow.
Thank you. Happy anniversary to me in August. Just remember that in case you want to get me something nice.
Make you a cake or something.
So for 30 years, I have been bringing this up. It's kind of insane. And I'm obsessed about the notion that we'll have a leafless summer, that something will occur. And, you know, that's why this whole, global warming thing and all that, it freaks me out, man. It does. And I don't think I'm wrong to be totally freaked. And now, here we go. Now it's going to snow tomorrow, and all the trees in my little garden and stuff, and the trees out on the street in front of my house, they're starting to bud.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get that tree to get full green, I'm going to tell you something right now. I could be bad for me.
It could be a bad summer for you because I know you rely on the beautiful leaves to sort of shade you and everything you do on your patio from your neighbors.
Also, right, exactly. Protect me. That really the most important thing is to protect what's happening in the house from view of all the people around me.
Ro hiding behind a tree. Mr. Khan, we can see you. No, you can't.
See you.
No, you can't. We're in full bloom. Fully bloomed this year. You can't see me.
Well, worst comes to worst, you can always go to a local elementary school, get the stage crew. They're pretty good at making trees.
No. They don't let me near an elementary school. No.
High
no, they don't want me near anything that's got... No.
Any stage crew, row.
Yeah.
Make trees.
I was going to say Goodman Theater, better. Yeah. Maybe them.
You're allowed
even
there.
They're afraid. They're like, that guy's a freak. People, theater folk, think I'm a freak. So when the snow is in the forecast, and Demetrius is going to join us coming up in a few minutes. Demetrius Ivory, of course, from Channel 9, is going to try to explain this to me in calm, dulcet tones.
Well, just think of all the golf plans that have been scrapped over the weekend. It's tragic. Think about it.
Well, a lot of clubs, a lot of courses, I should say, not so much clubs, but the golf courses throughout the Midwest, they get totally banged up by this because they count every weekend. Right. And they already
work. Starting when? When do you
Now.
Now.
Into their business plan, they count rounds that they anticipate, you know, sort of year over year, what the average has been. And you generally get a lot of people out this time of year. As soon as the sun, that's why the daylight savings time change is critical to them. critical throughout the Midwest. Because generally it's nicer than it is around the Great Lakes. You know, the water makes everything screwy around here.
Just about everyone I know who plays golf played golf last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was just, you had to, if you play golf and you've been waiting to play golf and you're just waiting for that weekend, that was the weekend. This is not.
This is the time of year when everybody plays a ton of golf because we've been suffering over the winter thinking about getting back on the golf course. So you get one fairly nice day and everyone's like, I'm golfing all weekend. Nobody call me. And I'm not doing anything.
And if you're golfing with your guys, you know, that you only see during golf season, mm-hmm. and then you never see the other time of the year.
Going to hibernation.
No, it's serious. Honest to God,
friendships going to hibernation. Yeah, no. Or are they not really?
No, they're friends. No, they're friends. But you know, if they call you, if like you know, they need something.
Golf course buddies, totally get
it. But they're guys that are you know that you see at the, you know, and that's it's a funny thing. Like I got a buddy who's one of my actually one of my closest friends. Knows probably more about me than almost anybody else in my life. And he and I even sold him a house once. He trusted me enough to sell. You know, I sold the house to him.
Wow.
He, and I, for 6 months, I don't talk to him. Zero contact. I get a text from him on Friday. Hey, what time tomorrow? That's it.
Right.
Not even like, hey, how you been? What's going on? It's like, we just pick up. It's nothing. There's no thought about anything.
Time of year, every conversation ends with, hey, we got to get on the course soon. And some guy does a little golf swing. We got to get out there.
Yeah, how you doing?
Dust off the sticks. Mm-hmm.
I've been catching Kevin doing that. In the office.
Just sometimes the elevator opens and I'm mid, you know,
randomly
practice
doing
swing.
Golf swings.
That's a little weird.
It is a little weird, but I'm working on the game. You know, golf junkie.
Well, you won't be going this weekend, I don't think. Although I do have one diehard family member who doesn't matter.
He's that guy?
Oh,
he's got the full-blown WeatherTech gear.
Oh, barely anything phases him past March 1st. Like, he's out there.
Larry Lujack used to, the great radio legend, he bragged that he played every month of the year in Chicago. As long as there wasn't enough snow on the ground that he couldn't see the ball, he played.
That's dedication.
That's totally.
So dedication. There's December.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Does he know that bowling exists?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
You
know why? Because you can drink while you're doing it.
Well, I think it's more of a it's strategy and skill. It's one of those games where you could be really good. But it doesn't matter. If you have a bad day, you have a bad day.
You get drunk and throw rocket pins, basically.
Yeah. I do like the bowling.
I love bowling.
Yeah, we tried that as a group outing once, but that was when Judy Pilak was with us, and it was for her birthday, and she got really angry that we considered her birthday bowl-worthy. And so the entire evening
for my birthday, I love it.
Okay, well, then we will do that, because it was completely awkward the entire night. Because the whole time, she's like, really?
Why are we here?
We're bowling for my birthday?
And then she made Ro feel guilty for a full year, and then Ro went all out the next birthday and had like a five-star chef rented out in his own home.
Was that
good? There you go, Judy. Is this good enough for you?
She was fine with that. No, I thought she didn't seem to complain.
That is funny, because that did happen, too.
I thought the fish was a little overcooked, Ro.
I gotta go. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Amy wants to mention something here at 312-981-7200. Amy, what's going on?
Hey, I feel bad about the golf game, but just wanted to mention... Glenbard West has their prom this weekend in the western suburbs, and I feel so bad for my daughter and all her friends who had pictured the beautiful sunny day in their strapless dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And the snow boots aren't going to look really good with the outfits. And just didn't know if anybody knew of a place in the western suburbs for photos that would be inside tomorrow.
That's very interesting. By the way, I would just like to say, go Hilltoppers. That's
go Hilltoppers. The first great, thing football like. Great football
go
programmers.
There you go.
I would say, I don't have an answer off the top. I mean, there's lots of, you know, there's all kinds of places out there. But I think the idea of being in the snow might be kind of cool.
But
except for the straplessness.
Well, and the girls are wearing their heels.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to tell you something right now. Now, Amy, I'm certain that this does not apply to your own child.
Oh, God, I know where he's going with this.
Me too.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, there's a lot of girls going to have to dress a little bit more appropriate this year for the prom, if you know what I mean.
Right? Maybe a hoodie.
Right, maybe something.
A lot of fathers will like that. Put a turtleneck on.
Here, wear my sweatshirt.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Because, you know, there's a rule. There's a rule that I know that most women follow in fashion that maybe some girls going to prom are not, you know, completely familiar with, which is you can choose one or the other. You can't have both. Right?
Here come the text messages. Try Elmhurst Park District Conservatory. Beautiful flowers indoors.
Great idea.
All right. Elmhurst Park. What was the name? Elmhurst
Park District Conservatory.
Where are you from? You know, Elmhurst, where is that? Where's Elmhurst?
I thought you said Elmhurst, and I wasn't familiar with Elmhurst.
Elmhurst Conservatory.
Elmhurst.
There you go.
Yes.
Elmhurst Conservatory. All right. There's your answer.
Problem solved.
Right. And put something on.
The thing is, they're not going to change their dress. They already bought their dress.
And you know
weeks
how expensive those are?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right.
No chance of that, Ro.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Good luck to the girls.
You know what? It's the first time ever in the history of the show we've been helpful to anybody. Right. So there you go.
There's always a first.
Thanks, Amy.
Go Hilltoppers.
Go Hilltoppers. Right.
Oh, that's true.
I feel like this is the most productive we've been on this show in a long time.
Oh,
you know,
very,
just solving problems out there.
Kind of like those consumer reporters, like, you bring your problems to us and we'll take care of them.
Yeah, that's what
we'll start that.
That's how we roll. All right, so Demetrius is going to join us in a few minutes. We're going to talk about... we're going to talk to Michael Steele first, right? Oh, no, that's at 4 o'clock. Okay, I'm sorry. I got everything screwed up here. We had a last-minute schedule change. So things are moving around. Michael Steele will be here in the 4 o'clock hour with us.
Okay.
And we've got Demetrius Ivory coming your way at the bottom. I have a few thoughts, too, on last night's draft. I don't know if anybody watched this on TV last night.
Kevin, you did, didn't you?
I did, just about every second of it.
Oh, my God. Me, too. And we'll get to it in just a second. Let's find out from Cam what's happening at the bottom of the hour.
An arrest in connection with over a dozen overdoses on the West Side.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Coming up, chance to win a pair of tickets. See the Sox take on Boston on Thursday, May 2nd. And beforehand, you should stop by Cork and Carry at the park starting at 3 o'clock. CH Vodka is having, that's Chicago's very own vodka.
Yeah.
Hometown vodka right there. CH Vodka. And Kevin and Lauren are going to be out there giving away tickets.
Everyone's invited. Come on out.
Yeah. Big deal. And that's it's a ton of fun. All right, so I'm watching the draft last night.
Okay.
I noticed a couple of things. First of all, the booing for Roger Goodell has become such my favorite tradition in all of sports. You know, like at University of Iowa, all the players at the end of the first quarter wave at the children's hospital.
Yeah.
It's the complete opposite.
I think that the booing of Roger Goodell warms my heart more. I'll be honest.
And even though didn't they have a little child with who's going through cancer present one of the draft picks, like he comes up
now
there?
That was the thing. It was like the third or fourth draft pick.
Uh-huh.
And they had like a Make-A-Wish kid, and it was almost like it was like a hostage situation. It was like Goodell decided, all right, get a guy, we got a Make-A-Wish kid, and I'm gonna hide behind him so they don't boo me. And what was really the best was that the 32nd pick last night, I think it was obviously New England had the 32nd pick, so no one was left on the streets of Nashville, except for Patriots fans.
Uh-oh.
And when he came out, and they require the announcers to say, and now, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Oh, my.
And it's like, we've seen him 30 other times already. You know, you don't have to tell us
who he is. Especially that crowd.
Right, we know.
They know.
Oh, my God. The booing was epic. For him, with the New England Patriots fans.
Oh. Probably.
No fan base hates him more than the Patriots.
No.
Look at what they did to poor Tom Brady.
Sure.
I mean, think about that.
Of course.
He only got four games for Deflategate.
Right.
And what's going to happen to Robert Kraft? Nothing. Right. They should actually love him.
But there were a couple of moments. That kid who went to Miami, who came out of Auburn, who stayed the extra year at Auburn, and he's an academic. He won the academic Heisman for four straight years.
Hmm.
He got out of Auburn in 2.5 years and then went into a grad program. And he comes out and he's like Akeem Hicks. He's like this big, like teddy bearish guy. Mm-hmm. And he comes running out and he looks at Roger Goodell and he does the point up. Like, all right, I'm going sky. Come on. Shoulder to shoulder, sky. And Goodell did not. Goodell, whitest man in America. Still not sure who Colin Kaepernick is. And he's like, and you're like, okay. We're going up, and this guy almost killed Roger Goodell.
Yeah, they did the full slow-mo, and Roger Goodell, the look of terror on his face. Christian Wilkins is his name, by the way.
Oh, my God, he's amazing.
Yeah, you look at the past, you know, Clemson's won two of the last three national titles, and you're watching the draft, And you're like, this is how they won two national titles in 3 years. They had three defensive linemen go in the first round, and everyone that walked onto the stage looked like a mountain of a man, just ginormous people.
Remember what they did to Alabama? Does anybody remember what they did to Alabama?
They made Alabama look like a high school program.
Yes, in the national championship.
Monster.
It was 48-0 in like the first quarter. And do you remember that Dabo Swinney? He is the head coach at Auburn.
He got a little payday today.
Yeah. He just set the record for highest paid college coach ever. And he also gave a wet willy to the guy.
What?
To Christian Wilkinson when he got drafted. Well, he's on the phone, you know, all the guys are on the phone.
Yeah.
And then he goes up and he gives him a wet willy because apparently Christian had done the same thing to him when they received the national championship trophy after the game. In February.
Oh.
Or January.
It's a weird tradition.
And the Giants decided to draft a guy named Daniel Jones from Duke.
The basketball school,
the
you know.
Sixth pick.
Oh, my gosh.
Giants fans
are
losing. Oh, my
God. We have a friend in the building who's a gigantic Giants fan, and we were making fun of him before.
Yeah. Right when I walked into the station, I went right to his office to go, Daniel Jones, huh?
We had three picks this year. They had three picks in the first round. And I go, we got three picks. What do you guys got? And it's like, you wasted one.
And I liked Eli's response to it. They're like, what do you think? He's like, fine.
You know what?
I
got five more years. All right, hold on. Here we go. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Oh, my God.
Did you hear that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, the weather.
Did you hear what Kim said?
It's frightful.
The best part was I watched Demetrius Ivory smirking into the camera on the CLTV while she was reading that. And he has this look on his face like, that's happening. That's happening.
It's one of those things where, like, when you learn a secret, but you can't tell anyone, and then you have to wait, but then it starts to come out.
Yeah.
And then you're the one to deliver all the details.
Yeah, and I'm the one who gets to now just yell it to the world. Yeah, snow on the way.
This is not a blessed event, my friend. Not a blessed event. There's talk of this. I did some research on this particular,
Tom tells me there's trouble when that happens.
Yes, and he would be right about that, Demetrius. But there is there's kind of a lobal thing happening here. There's a lobe. And if this thing moves a little faster than predicted, then we might get into the warmer side of this storm. But that appears now we're 24 hours out. That's not going to happen, is it?
You've been watching the competition again, haven't you? I can tell your research is...
she's really pretty. Anyway, go ahead. What's the deal?
I do think there's going to be a possibility that we are going to be seeing some of the warm air associated with this, but probably not so warm that we're not going to see snow. I think we're going to have temperatures that'll be in the 30s. And then there's a couple of processes that kind of work together. So when you have warmer or drier air and then some really cold and wet air just kind of moves in with it, you can cool down the temperature a little bit more. So if you remember back to the April 14th, we saw snow at 35, 36 degrees. So I don't know if we're going to drop to freezing until tomorrow afternoon. But a lot of times that moisture just being involved, just the fact that it's snowing will drop your temperature down more. So I don't think we completely dodge the snow. I think there's a possibility. If that happens, I'm getting out of town.
What about that 4 to 8?
Yeah, 4 to 8 inches.
Where'd you come up with that? And by the way, I'm getting these text messages now from the National Weather Service. Yeah. Like, take cover!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they always freak you out.
Yeah.
Even me too, yeah.
But 48 inches this late in April.
Oh, seems 48, that's almost unheard
pretty
of.
Pretty serious.
Yeah, how about this?
Do we think that's real?
For the month of April, we have so far 5.5 inches of snow. That makes this the ninth snowiest month of April on record. Most ever is 13.1, and that was 1938. It's been since that long. Great video that you guys show. I love that we pull up the miserable snow video. That's awesome.
We have the Burlington Coat Factory commercial. That's why I just keep rolling that on a loop. Yeah.
There you go. So if we get 8 inches, it's going to be the snowiest month of April on the record. I don't think, in my heart of hearts, that we're going to get 8 inches of snow.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. I think the National Weather Service is certainly playing it on the safe side. I mean, I'd be willing to say that we all kind of underbet or undercut what we got on April 14th. You like how I say that? Undercut.
You're going to the under. We're going with the under on that.
So I definitely think that it's possible that we could get 8 inches of snow. I mean, we're looking at 1 to 2 inches of snow per hour. There's going to be thunder snow, which just kind of gives you an idea of the rate of snow that's going to be falling. So, in Chicago,
So what time is this going to hit tomorrow?
It starts around 1 p.m. The snow is probably going to start as early as around 11 a.m., Rockford and those areas, and then we start to see it soon thereafter. And the whole myth that it's, the ground's too warm, I think we all remember 2 weeks ago, forget about that. You can overcome that really quickly. If the snow's coming down quickly enough, it'll just be heavy, wet, slushy, nasty, 4 to 8 inches of just downright
dangerous to shovel stuff. We have to remind
but there's no need to shovel it. By Sunday, just let it die a slow death in your driveway. It'll melt away and you'll be fine.
And who's going to get hit hardest here, Demetrius?
The area is north of Chicago. So I think maybe northern Cook County, northern suburbs might get it the worst. But that area could be a little bit more north. We think there's going to be a really tight band where some folks are going to be lucky to even get an inch north and south of that band. But in that band is where we really think there's going to be that 4 to 8 inches of snow. It's possible that band could be as far south as Chicago. It's more likely that it's going to be north. So certainly Lake Wisconsin. County, I'd say, you know,
Wisconsin border.
Yeah, Wisconsin,
they deserve
board,
it.
They, you know
yeah.
what? Those
Take
lower
that, Packer
taxes.
Fans.
Yeah, those lower taxes, you get more snow. That's how
they're not that much lower. They're not that much
lower.
Much lower.
Oh darn! That myth just got busted for me.
So,
but they do have a lot of Packer fans there. So
yeah, you know, so I like to
throw snow on
you
them.
Get the snow on the Brat Stop. They don't care. What now? What's it going to be like on Sunday?
Sunday, we're looking at a high temperature in the upper 40s and sunshine. So it's going to be one of those interesting days there.
Turnarounds.
Yeah, early in the morning, we'll have that snow, and it's just going to melt away really quickly. I think by Monday morning, the only snow that's going to be left is the snow that's sitting in the shade. The rest of it will go the way of the dinosaurs really quickly. So, you know, if you don't have to be out and about when the snow is
as
heavy as...
Oh, for God's sake, here we go. Don't be out. Yeah. All right, so...
Saturday night, I'm telling people don't be out and about. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is... next week, do we get back into moderate air, or are we condemned to something in the beginning of May?
Next week is going to be just more fun, actually. We're going to have cloud cover and rain basically from Monday through Thursday, maybe some stronger thunderstorms for Wednesday. Spring, we're going to go from winter to spring in about one day as a wet system comes in. So we're looking at showers basically each day next week. I don't know if the Cubs are in town. Cubs or Sox?
Sox are in town.
Sox are in town.
Yeah, night games all next week.
Pack some patience for those. There's going to be a good chance for rain. Monday, Tuesday,
you're fired.
Wednesday.
You're fired.
Fired, Demetrius.
Skilling never tells us this.
Likely. I know. Skilling knows better. He would have known this too.
He just makes it up for us.
You know what happens is Skilling always takes time off when this kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, well, guys, I got to go to Australia.
Right.
You're like, what are you doing?
And
what?
Meanwhile, I'm completely clueless. I went to Avengers last night till 2 in the morning. And then I get up today and it's like winter storm watch. I knew it was going to snow.
So quickly, your thought on that?
I think it was really good. I almost cried. I there was a lot of I couldn't cry with all the, you know, all the guys in there.
Dress up in a superhero costume?
I didn't dress up, but I'll tell you what. If I had a costume, I would have dressed up. This is real to me. Now, you know, Ro, you might remember back when we were kids.
Yeah.
Superhero movie was that weird Spider-Man guy in the pajamas, right?
Yes.
Or the Hulk,
or maybe
which...
a bet. Right, there was too many Hulk movies. They kept remaking the Hulk movie,
right?
And then remember there was that great Asian director made the Hulk movie, and you're like, I don't get it, man.
Yeah,
it was like too artsy.
Yeah, yeah, it was just too. You know what? These kids nowadays, man, they got it good.
I know. We're in the best of the genre ever. I mean, even Superman. Remember when Superman came out, and then he was, you know, at the end of the first Superman, spoiler alert, this was Christopher Reeve. He had to go around the Earth the wrong way to change time, and it was the worst effect ever when you saw it. You're like, that doesn't even work.
It was like, yeah, okay.
He's on a string.
And then, you know, Christopher Reeve was, he always kind of felt like, he's like your dad, right? He kind of looked like your dad.
Yeah, it was a little. I think it was supposed to be a little wooden. And then, you know, the sex scene in space, that was weird.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yeah,
she can't breathe up there. That's not working.
Yeah,
She'd be cold.
Yeah, it was just.
I mean, it's not right.
I know. So they got it better now. Yeah. Although we got, you know, our Godzilla was better. You know, the guy with the rubber suit.
Hey, wait for the new Godzilla.
Yeah.
Oh. Have you seen? It looks just like Game of Thrones. They've actually made the next Godzilla. They've got actually
look
some
like
of the
dragons.
They look just like the dragons, and they look actually like some of the same actors are in that film.
Oh, that'll be better.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be better.
I might go see this Avengers thing. I don't usually watch these movies or go to these movies. This one is, you know.
Well, did you see the last one?
No, but I.
You got to watch the last one first.
Okay.
If you watch the last one first.
But that one's on Netflix, Infinity War.
Yeah. Now you realize you're talking to the wrong guy because I'm saying watch 6 hours.
So you did like it, but you didn't. You tried not to cry. You didn't want to squeeze off a tear in front of your fellow weatherman or what?
I did like it. I was completely surprised. And I thought it was a great.
You were completely surprised?
I was completely surprised at all the crazy stuff that happened in that movie.
Can I ask you a weather-related question, though, before
we're
out
of time? What's the point of that?
I'm sorry. Right. I know.
I just can do this.
That there are wind gusts tomorrow, and I wanted to know when those are moving in and how serious those are going to be.
So today we're looking at wind gusts at about 30, 35 miles per hour. It's pretty breezy now, and I'm glad you did mention that, because when the snow comes, we could be seeing wind gusts up to 45 miles per hour or so. Now, I think the snow is going to be heavy enough where it's not going to be drifting and blowing, but if you got snow coming down 1 to 2 inches per hour, and it's also blowing sideways. I mean, it's just not the type of condition that you want to be out there for.
So O'Hare's going to get banged up here.
I think O'Hare, folks catching a flight tomorrow.
Or coming back in, because, you know, some people had Easter week this week.
That's probably going to be an issue. Yeah. I think that there's the off chance that we could have some power outages because, we have leaves which are budding and things like that on the trees. So that's going to hold any of that heavy, wet snow. Then you throw that with a 45-mile-per-hour wind, and you could be looking at some potential limbs and things like that coming down. So it's just going to be a rough go.
He just did it. He just told me that we're going to have a leafless summer in Chicago. That's what you just said. My worst nightmare.
A leafless summer. Yeah, there we go.
Summer without leaves.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Bill Snyder says that we're summer's over. He says it's over. From now on, it's just going to be 30 degrees and chilly for the rest of the year.
He's a pessimist, but he's like me.
Bill Snyder, he likes it really, really hot. He's going to be freaking out this weekend.
You know, this guy comes in, it's 95 degrees outside. We're doing stories about, the fire department saving people, and he's just the happiest guy ever. Like, oh, this weather's great. This is amazing. And all I'm looking at is my electric bill from the air conditioner.
Right.
It's going around like a meat slicer when you look at the little knobs. Right. All right. Thank you very much, Demetrius. I'm not sure what I'm thanking you for, but at least your time. I'm going to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And your movie review. I think that was the
thank
most.
Thank you very much.
That was the nicest thing that happened here.
I give it an Avengers A.
All right. There you go.
All right. Wow.
Demetrius. Don't wait. Oh, my God. Don't let Dean Richards find out that we're doing movie reviews around here. That's going to be a pretty. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
It's like gang violence.
Don't tell anybody.
I mean, you don't step on his territory.
Yeah. We won't tell nobody.
Exactly. Right. We never even talked about it. We were talking about the snow. That was it. Winter. Winter is here.
Winter is here. And Dean gave it an A.
Yes. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Let's check in now with Kim, find out what's going on top of the hour.
Ro, here's your chance to be in the room where it happened. We'll explain.
Lawrence Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Coming up, Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Nice.
Okay. And we got tickets for that. We're giving away tickets all week long as we head into, and this is Friday, so this is it, for the game next Thursday against the Red Sox. And we may have some next week, too.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to fill up that stadium with our people.
Mm-hmm.
And the CH vodka, and then you never know. You never know, we might actually show up at that game. Let's just hope. I think the weather will break by Thursday. So it's going to be kind of a rocky week next week.
Yeah, I would think so.
Pardon the expression. All right, we did mention coming up in the show we will be discussing with Michael Steele. There's a little schedule change. Really doesn't affect anybody except for us, and we're totally thrown off by it. But Michael Steele will be here after the 4 o'clock news. We'll be talking about what's going on the planet Earth. As Joe Biden, he was on The View this morning.
He was.
And you don't think he sold it?
Well, they really didn't let it go. I mean, it's a favorable audience. You know, you've got several people on the panel go way back with Biden, but they really were pointed in their questioning about the Anita Hill situation, the fact that he was running that whole hearing, the way he handled it, that his apology wasn't really an apology, and that he was sort of setting it up to say, well, why don't you just make the apology rather than sorry about how you felt about the way it was? Why don't you just say sorry for what you did? And he never did. Hmm. So I was just, they hammered him pretty hard on it. And it seemed like he never went to that point where he just sort of talked about equality. he was just more in a defensive mode. And maybe that's just the way you get when you know you're getting fired questions like that. But it just never sort of became that guy who says, or the presidential candidate who says, look, it's important that we look at women and men and this new age and the way they should be treated. And Anita Hill wasn't treated well back then. And it didn't go the way it should have. It just, you know, you didn't quite hear that. But, you know, he was a guest for the entire show. And a lot of questions for him. But he raised a ton of money. He made news shortly thereafter for raising more money than any other Democratic candidate
in one day,
24 hours yeah. after announcing, which I don't know why that's really a big deal. I don't know why we look at that other than an initial enthusiasm kind of poll.
And I also wonder how much of that they cuff that money waiting to dump it into the, you know, they raise that money for a certain amount of time and they dump it in that first day so they can get that headline.
And if it comes from small donors or not sort of matters, because if you have, you know, several major donors giving that money, right. It makes a difference than if you have the $29.
Now giving me $12.92 per donation.
Because they saw his tax returns.
That is the average. They say I don't need it because I am a millionaire because I published a book on the New York Times bestseller list. I've got lint. My hair may be slightly askance. I'm so sick of that guy. You know, he's going to ruin it for everybody. He's just going to ruin it. Although, Donald Trump is not enjoying one of his lowest... We'll talk about this with Michael Steele, too. One of his lowest approval ratings. The economy is gangbusters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Mueller report came out, and you know, he's been running around screaming and exonerated him. But, I mean, I think there's enough there for him to at least take a victory, you know, breathe easier, right? Doesn't look like anybody's going to try and throw him out of office before the election. So you would think that that would be helpful to him, and his numbers actually went down. And I think it's because he's taken the victory lap. And now, when he lies, it's real obvious. You know, he makes stuff up, you know, just to inflate his own whatever it is. I think people are kind of finally catching on.
His dad was born in Germany.
Well, many of the things that he says. But I mean, it's just so I think there's a little bit of fatigue. If he'd take a vacation, his numbers would go way up. I would suggest that to him, but I don't think
it's Melania's birthday today. So maybe he will take the rest of the day off.
Which one is she? All right, hold on. We're going to give you all the news that fits with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Newsroom in 2 minutes. And now, the Man of Steel.
Careful.
I know. Get that fur ball up, buddy. Come on.
I do my best. Every week.
You guys are getting snow? You're kidding
me.
We're getting snow.
4 to 8 inches.
4 inches of snow. I know. Don't say it. I know what you're about to say. You know, we just got past Holy Week. Don't say it. All right. It's bad. And I don't want to talk about it. I just, I don't want to even think about it. I just want to pretend tomorrow's not going to happen. Because it's a beautiful day today. It's 65 and sunny. And
it's been a nice week, to be honest. Yeah. But tomorrow afternoon, it's all going to change, Michael Steele. All going to change. Wind gusts, everything. Yeah.
It's global. It's global. It's I don't know what it is. It's global stupidity is what it is. All right, let's talk about, can we talk, first of all, before we get to Joe Biden, the President of the United States is on a tear. For the last couple of days, both on Twitter and now in his public pronouncements, he just was sitting down and allowed for a press spray at the White House. He's with Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister, and he is calling the attempted coup. There was an attempted coup on him. This is his new campaign slogan. By the FBI tried to stop him. He's blaming Barack Obama and the Justice Department from 2015 and 2016 mm-hmm. for going after him, and that this was, you know, there was nothing to this. Well, that's not what the Mueller report said, and it wasn't like they were going after him. They started with Paul Manafort well before he hired Paul Manafort. What do you make of this?
Yeah, well, you know, it's Trump, so you take it for what it is. It's you know, it's a Friday, and he's about to get on a plane or a helicopter and go somewhere, so he just drops little kernels of crazy, and everyone goes scurrying off with him. And, you know, look, the truth of the matter is the FBI – Justice Department. These are the same people who actually sat on the investigation of his campaign in 2016 while they not only went after Hillary once but twice. And yet they, you know, he wants to say that there was, you know, they wanted to take him out. Look, people just, I guess, have to at this point. I don't know how you read it or how you take it. This is consumes most of the president's day. Period. Right. The president, if he's up at 6 a.m. or 7 o'clock, he's on Fox and Twitter until about 11 or noon. And then he's got to go do something official. And then he's off to Mar-a-Lago. Well, so this is what a reality TV presidency looks like. There's no real work being done here. Substantively, the government is in sort of anaphylactic shock at this point. And the president just moves from one moment to the next. And we all just kind of absorb it and take it for the reality TV perversion that it is and move on. I mean, I don't know what else to say. The Mueller report made it very clear where things were. And now it's breaking this evening that Rod Rosenstein even had a conversation with the president that he shouldn't have had, in which he told him, don't worry, Mr. President, I'm going to land the plane on this for you. Don't worry. So now it's thrown into question whether or not this Justice Department that he's, you know, blaming and blowing up actually had colluded with him to say, don't worry, whatever the Mueller report says, you're going to be fine.
Well, we always kind of looked at Rosenstein as a good guy in this, that he was, that, you know, he was going to be sober and dedicated to, you know, a procedural way of investigating this, the kind of way that, that Americans would be proud of. And he, you know, he made a speech yesterday. He's leaving Justice in a couple of weeks. And he made a speech yesterday, and he talked about that. And he tried to be, you know, as he was like, you know, we knew that this report was not going to be able to indict the president. And so, we just wanted to lay it out for people to see. And that was what it was going to be. And then, you know, perhaps that's what he means by landing the plane. But whatever it was, there's still enough there where people go, listen, the president's approval ratings are as bad as they have ever been. And the economy is as good as it's ever been. And 58% of people think that Trump lied about major facts in the investigation of we'll call the Mueller report. And I think I think America's getting kind of sick of the guy.
No, they're not. Because if they hold election tomorrow on the heels of everything you just said, they will reelect this president in a heartbeat.
Well, who can beat him?
Bro, the man has a 41% reelect number.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A 41% reelect. Separated from Dobb, I mean, he was unpopular before they elected him. He had a 56% negative. So, but he has a 41% reelect. Not 27, not 32, 41. He won with 48% of the vote. You think it's going to be hard for Trump to gin up enough misogyny, racism, and hate and fear to pull 7% out of parts of America that people don't pay attention to?
Not if you get the White Walker. Get
a dragon. Can we get a dragon?
I mean, that's Biden reminds me. Biden
is two that are still on the good side.
Right. And Biden's like near dead, and he's walking across. Fine. Well, we'll take him.
But how do you think Biden's doing on that note? Because you have to find the right candidate who can satisfy, garner the votes that you need, but also face off against this president. Is Biden doing a good job out of the gates here? What would you say?
I think he is. I think Biden did something that no other candidate did coming out of the gate. He looked Trump in the eye and said, you, sir, are unfit for the job. You, sir, do not have the moral compass to do the job. And he reminded us of why that's important when he hearkened back to Charlottesville. I thought it was a very strong opening by Joe Biden. Now, opening day, like we know in baseball, is opening day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You still have 189 games to play or something like that. So it's a long way to go. But I thought the way he came out of the gates was strong. And I think that's why you've seen Trump fixate on him. And I say fixate because of all the candidates, who has he tweeted about the most?
Yeah, Biden.
He tweeted about Joe Biden.
Most
in the last 24 to 36 hours as he's gone after him several times. So he knows. He knows that of all of these candidates, and so do Republicans, that Trump is in trouble with Biden because Biden can pull that white vote that fled to him after Obama back towards Biden in next year. But again, that's today. Let's see how the campaign unfolds. Biden has a problem getting through a Democratic primary that has decided it wants to be social Democrats, whatever that is.
Yeah, so yeah, we know what that
progressive.
Is.
Progressive.
Yeah.
Right. And so the country's not going to buy that. They're not going to buy that in Illinois. They're not going to buy it in Wisconsin. They're not going to buy it in Michigan. They're not going to buy it in Iowa or Idaho. So how do they, you know, how do they craft a message if they decide to kick Biden to the curb that's going to win more than just the East Coast and the West Coast?
It's not even going to win New York. It's going to win the Upper West Coast of New York. It's going to win Silicon Valley, and that's it. It's over. And only part of Silicon Valley. Yeah. It is a – it's – they do have to make it. The Democrats do have to get out of their own way here. But I think that I honestly think that you could run a cheese sandwich right now against him and beat him because I think people are like, I don't know.
Okay.
He's, with that 58%, there's a 58% negativity
that
number.
That makes you feel good. That's good.
And it does. It does. I know what you're saying, but I bet Republicans, I think there are Republicans who are getting, you know how many Republican, I was in Arizona a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a guy who's very involved,
right.
A couple actually, that's very involved in Republican politics there, and they're like, we'll never do it again, we'll never do it again. You know, and these are like, you know, these are the conservative, religious, conservative Republicans.
Yeah, but who are they voting for?
They're going to stay home. They're going to do it.
Joe Biden or Amy Klobuchar? They're going to vote for the Green New Deal?
No, they're definitely not going to vote for but they may stay home.
They're going to vote for free fill-in-the-blank?
Well, I don't think they're going to
get it.
I know. I'm gonna, well, look at me. I'm whistling in a graveyard. Look at me. Hold on. I'm trying to whistle. All right. Now that we have unanimity on this, like you said, Biden is, he's got his own challenges, but he's probably going to be where all the smart money is going to go here, right? And does he have...
I think in the end, yeah.
Do you think he's got the stamina to make this work?
Yes. Yes. I don't know why people think... Until the man actually passes out on the campaign stump, just let him go and do his thing. I mean, you know... He got up this morning, okay? There we go. Let's start the day.
Yeah, and he faced off with the ladies of The View today, too. Did you... I felt like they were hammering away at him and were really tough on him. I have to say, I didn't necessarily expect that. I think what Joy Behar ultimately pointed out is that he kept repeating, I'm sorry for the way she was treated, but never took any responsibility for his own actions, and that's what was pointed out.
Just real quick on that, you know, I've been in this debate with folks, and I get it. I understand how our sensibilities today are offended by the behavior of our predecessors, and I get that. So, and I suspect that if Thomas Jefferson were to come back today, or, you know, George Washington, there would be Americans out there who will grill them for having slaves. I understand that. But time, place, context for me means a lot. And I'm not going to judge or prejudge someone's behavior at that time unless it's obviously very egregious. There was a general consensus around, you know, racism and segregation, et cetera. In this particular space, the country's attitude had not evolved and was not evolving. And as I pointed out to some folks, whether it was the crime bill or the Anita Hill hearings, the number of Democrats who stood with Joe Biden, what do you have to say to them? Some of them are still in Congress. Some of them will get reelected. Some of them, these very same people who are beating Joe up, will write those candidates a check.
But he was the Senate.
So I think
he was the Senate Judiciary Chair at the time, so he was in charge of the hearings. And you had a member of Congress come forward today, Pat Schroeder, who said, well, he wasn't going to even let her testify at the time. He didn't think that was worthy. He didn't let the others who had similar stories testify. He certainly, I mean, there's a piece of this that he does have to own,
I feel.
Can
I ask you a question? What just happened in the Kavanaugh hearings? Does that sound eerily familiar?
I mean,
do you know what we went through to get Blasey Ford to testify, and then on a very limited basis, because the Republicans didn't want the full exposure? how many people came and testified who could corroborate what she said and say?
But wouldn't it be better just to own it, like you just said just now, that things look different in the lens of history and that things change and attitudes change? I mean, wouldn't it be better to do that?
People won't let him own it. Everywhere he goes, he's going to have to relitigate it and reapologize. And that's the problem. They won't let him own it. He has been very clear over and over again. I can't believe I'm sitting here defending the man. I'm not really trying to defend him. I'm just trying to give it really.
Did you work really hard to put him out of a job? I seem to recall that you did that.
Exactly.
When you worked for the Republicans back in. That was going on. Hey, quickly, I want to ask you about Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders,
yeah.
Did he step in his own diaper on Monday night when he said, when he did the whole, yeah, go ahead. I must say one thing. I have to stand by what I said. Anybody in prison, they should vote. We should have polling places. We should have that.
Okay. So not only did he step in his own diaper, he then picked the diaper up the floor and proceeded to wipe himself with it.
Yeah.
So I just completely.
The worst.
Just cover yourself as much as you can in the bad stuff that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And look, all he had to do in the moment, instead of doubling and tripling down and go, oh, you know, I misspoke, what I meant was nonviolent offender. Certainly an American citizen who's engaged in terrorism loses that constitutional right to vote pursuant to current practice and law. It's not complicated, but this is what I'm going back to, the point I made earlier. So your friends in Arizona are going to vote for that over Trump?
Right.
That's happening.
I know that happened, but there's plenty of time between now and then. I think that will not be the conversation in the fall of next year. I just don't think it's going to be. We're still a year
exactly.
And a half.
I don't think it will be. It'll be something probably worse.
Yeah, I think this...
Oh, gosh.
All right, there you go. You know what? That's it. That's it. You know, it's going to snow here tomorrow. And so I'm trying. This has been a very long and arduous few days. I'm stopping you right now. I was cleaning up the water in my first floor today, and I had a lovely, amazing plumber like soldering something, and I'm like looking at my entire life, and I'm going, what am I doing? And then you come on the radio and try to make it even worse.
I'm just saying.
Friend. I expect you to make me feel better. All right, I gotta go.
Yeah, didn't work.
Thank you, Michael Steele.
It did work. Thank you.
Man of Steel!
Have a good weekend, Michael. Have a good weekend.
There he goes. Okay. I was trying to. We got the White Sox tickets to give away.
Oh, good.
We got. I stole a pair from Kevin and Lauren. They're going to give them away next Thursday before the game at Cork and Carry.
Yeah.
The Sox taking on the Red Sox next Thursday night.
Yep.
You stole them from us?
I stole a pair.
We'll allow it.
And
yeah, we still have actually quite a lot.
We're going to be giving them away in just a few minutes, so stay close right here. But first, let me tell you what's happening on the... Well, let's let Kim tell us what's happening on the news.
Get out your boots and snow shovel. Snow's back in the forecast.
When's the first deck party, Ro? Got one planned yet for the?
Well, I was having it. So
when
my
snow melts.
Well, I have my out.
Can't do it on Saturday.
So my deck. Well, you almost had a near catastrophic emergency on the deck today, but it worked out.
Thank goodness.
Because the outdoor water spigot thingy, which is apparently technically known as a silcock, and I had to say what? It's a what?
I didn't know that
word.
Yeah,
so it's gone.
How do you say? Can you say it again?
Silcock.
What's the second part?
You guys are so mature.
The second part of that.
Anyway,
Kevin picks right up on it.
The point is that there was a little busty boo in the pipeline that went to my silcock.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I had a busty boo in the silcock, and so
it's the worst.
It was the worst. So there was water going in places it shouldn't have been going. Next thing you know, things were wet that shouldn't be, and it's like I go, oh hey. So I just want to. So I called my guys. I got guys. I got my plumbers, and they showed up, and they fixed the whole thing.
Whew! Thank God.
Yep. Yes.
Love so. When you fix the.
Well, they fixed my silcock.
Good.
Which had the busty boot.
How did you learn that? That's what it's called.
The guy's like, hey, you want to know what this is called?
The guy?
No, the guy's like, all right, apparently we're going to have to replace your silcock. I'm like, no, you're not.
No, dare you. And had to fix your silcock.
No.
This sounds like the start of something that would be on Kevin's computer.
More like Ted Cruz's computer. Or an aid for Ted Cruz.
I do have all those videos, silcock videos. They're everywhere. Do you realize how many times those things rupture?
Bro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on the 720 to WGN. All right, Adam Hogue is joining us right now. He's our Bears insider, he's our football insider, and I was just I was over at the water cooler during the news break, and I shouldn't be at the water cooler during the news break, but I was. And Kevin shouldn't have been there either, and he was there.
Uh-oh.
And we were watching them make the drinks for the Carnarvon wagon, which I thought was very, very important. Two Lights is here,
suddenly
I think, for the Carnarvon wagon,
thirsty.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so we got all excited about stuff. But there's a big question I have, Mr. Hogue. Are you prepared to answer it?
No, absolutely.
All right. Last night on the ABC, three different networks had the NFL draft. Three different networks. If you're watching them all simultaneously, there might have been a little delay between two of them, depending on your carrier. But the fact of the matter is that every single one of them, if you synced them all up, the booing for Roger Goodell couldn't have been more pleasing every time he was introduced. And they would always have to say, and now, the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell. Every time he came on stage. And I'm like, is that in his contract? Is that in
That's
his writer?
Strange.
Yeah, I mean, we get it. We know who he is. Just tell us who Pittsburgh picked. Anyway, the point that I would like to make here, though, is that Lee Corso was on the... They used the College Game Day crew on ABC. And they did like a sort of a football-friendly ABC show. Robin Roberts was there. Kirk Herbstreit and Corso and you know, Dez and who's the other guy? I never know who the main anchor guy is.
Reese Davis,
right. It used to be Chris Fowler. Now it's, you know, whoever it is. Anyway, it's always the same haircut. I just don't know which guy fits underneath the hair. So so they're there, and there's Corso, and in the middle of the show, he gets up and leaves. And they were like, and Reese Davis goes, are you leaving? He goes, yep, I'm gone. And he gathers up all his papers, shakes everybody's hands, and walks away.
What was that about?
Do we know what happened there?
Wait, and he didn't come back?
No. And then all of a sudden they scrambled, and they had to put some other guys in, including a very drunk Luke Bryan.
Uh-oh.
I was watching the wrong broadcast.
I know.
This sounds awesome.
That's what I said. I didn't have an answer for him at the water cooler, so I was hoping you did, Adam. I quickly pulled it up, and he just sort of abruptly gets up and leaves.
It did not appear that it was a planned move.
No.
Because if it were a planned move, they would have had like a, hey, well, you know, Lee's going to leave us now. We're going to be joined by blah, 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 and blah, 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 and maybe a drunk Lou Bryant. But
it looked like they were surprised on set that he was taken off.
Yeah, and they kind of looked at each other, too, like they all started laughing, and it was weird.
You know, I was watching right at the beginning, and, you know, look, I love Lee Corso. He's done a great job on College NBA for a lot of years. He, every year, it's getting a little bit harder and harder for him to enunciate his words. And
he had a stroke. People on Twitter, I was watching Twitter last night trying to figure out what happened to him. People on Twitter were so cruel about him.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. And I'm trying to be nice about it right now.
Well, but I get it, but he's still Lee. He's Lee freaking Corso.
And what are you so
I
bad
think
about?
He was
There's
having trouble
networks.
Talking over the music, though. Like, that's what I was noticing. Like, he couldn't really hear what was going on with the music behind him. So I wonder if he just sort of gave up.
Can we talk about players Bears might draft tonight, Adam?
Absolutely.
Okay, yesterday we had OB on, and he mentioned Justice Hill, the running back out of Oklahoma State. That's the guy that's my guy as well. That's who I was kind of hoping they could end up landing tonight in the third round. Give me some options, at least at the running back position, you think the Bears could go, because I think a lot of people are sort of assuming that's the position they're going to target with their first pick.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys I like. A number of those guys, I'm wondering if they'll still be there in the third round. One would be Miles Sanders from Penn State, who was playing behind Saquon Barkley and happens to be really, really good. He just didn't get on the field much until last year. A guy I liked within the Big Ten, Divine Ozigbo from Nebraska, who I think will be available there.
Oh, it's a hell of a name. No, he was great. I saw him at the Northwestern game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, and he was good. And, you know, same sort of thing. Like, he was playing behind other guys, and the coaching change at Nebraska last year, I think, helped him because Scott Frost, the new coach, was like, oh, hey, this guy's pretty good. I'm going to play him, where the coaching staff before him wasn't playing him for whatever reason. So I like him a lot. Here, let me give you the big question I have tonight, guys, and I'll be headed over to Hallis Hall very, very shortly.
Oh,
will the Bears trade up? Mm. because I would not rule that out. And the reason I bring that up
is, what do they have to give?
Well, they have 8 draft picks already next year, including 2 second rounders next year. Because remember, the Raiders sent them a second rounder, which I still can't believe they did in the Khalil Mack trade. So I go back to last year when the Bears traded up to get Anthony Miller in the second round. What did they give up in that trade? They gave up a 4th rounder and this year's second rounder. So don't forget that there's still draft capital next year that they can give up. And if there's a guy they really like there in the second round, they could actually move up without having to trade their 3rd round pick that they already hold tonight. So it would not be shocking to see the Bears come out of tonight with 2 players.
Hey, it was entertaining when that 24th pick came about last night and the Raiders were picking and every Bears fan on Twitter was just smiling ear to ear because they did show Khalil Mack highlights just like Ryan Pace called. And it, you know, they didn't have a 1st round pick, but, you know, I think people were kind of half kidding. Bears still won the 1st round because they got Mack in that trade.
Because here's the thing. If Khalil Mack had been in the draft last night, even at his age and the contract, he making way more than every other player that got picked last night, even throw all that in there, he still would have gone number 1 overall.
Right. Yeah, how about
so
it?
So the Bears got that guy with the 24th overall pick, the way you look at it. And, man, it's still a tremendous trade for the Bears, and I don't. Now the money's going to hurt in the future. I guarantee you, a year or two from now, we're going to be talking about this and how much his cap hit is, like $26 million.
He's worth it. Pay him more. I'm going to send him $20 to his. That's how much.
Yeah, let's start a GoFundMe.
Here you go,
Khalil. Keep him in town.
A few more bucks for you, big fella. Here's a name I want to throw at you, Adam, and some people might recognize this name because he played at Northern Illinois. Sutton Smith, back-to-back MAC Defensive Player of the Year. A little undersized, but he's an outside linebacker, 29 sacks over the past 2 years. Can he be kind of a late-round guy, maybe even sixth, seventh round for the Bears?
Yeah, I've looked at him a little bit over the last couple of months, and I, you know, when I look at him, I just, and this isn't necessarily an insult, it's just I don't see a special player, but I see a guy that was very productive at NIU that can certainly have a role in the NFL and be a valuable player. I don't know that he's going to be special, and that's why I still think he'll probably be towards the later portions of the draft.
So yesterday, OB was hot on Justice Hill.
Yeah. That's what I was, yeah.
Yeah. So, now, Justice Hill didn't go last night. Mm-mm. Right?
No,
he's still available, but you think he'll go early in the second round?
I don't necessarily know early. I do think he probably goes in the second round. The thing that's really
fascinating... Bears not want to go in the second round for a running back. Isn't that the need? Isn't that really the need? At the end of the day, isn't that truly, other than a kicker, which you're not apparently going to draft? Wait, let me just say something about the San Francisco 49ers.
How about them?
They are behaving like, you know, like they own this guy like he's a slave.
Right.
Even though
he's not going anywhere.
Kind of own him.
Is there any shot that happens at him?
I would not rule it out. Here's what I think the 49ers are doing right now, and I think it's smart, actually, on their part. There's no reason to rush this thing. They're probably annoyed, first of all, that a kicker is
demanding a
trade.
That's what I said. This is the first time in NFL history a kicker is demanding a trade.
Especially when he's locked in for, what, $5 million or something?
That's the franchise. Yeah. He wants more than that. Though.
He wants
more. But here's the thing. Every year there's a team that comes out of training camp desperate for a kicker. And that team may be the Bears. Let's just fast forward to late August, okay? Let's say that this kicking competition has been a disaster, that guys have missed kicks in the preseason games, and everybody in Chicago is freaking out about it. Well, then your leverage you have in a trade, and meanwhile, I'm sure the 49ers are going to start looking for a different kicker now, and they already have one on the roster, actually. And if they feel good about the other guy they have, and there's another team, and let's say it's the Bears, who's desperate for a kicker late in the summer, well, now they have all the leverage in trade negotiations, and if you're the Bears at that point, how could you possibly go into the season with a big question mark at kicker? Maybe you go and make that deal if you have the cap space to sign Robbie to a long-term deal, and that's why if I'm the 49ers, I actually wait this thing out a little bit.
Okay, tell me how that works, though, because I don't quite understand it. So a player like Robbie Gould can request a trade, but the team doesn't have to honor it. They just have to know he doesn't want to be there. So,
well, basically, the thing called the franchise tag is they've locked Robbie Gould up to a contract that he hasn't agreed to for 2019. That's the tool that exists in the NFL. So his only option is to sit out the whole year at this point or ask for a trade, which the team does not need to grant him. So they could let him go. You can rescind the franchise tag and just say, okay, bye, if nobody wants to trade for him, or they can try to work out a trade, or they could just say, dude, you're a kicker in 2019. You either show up or you don't.
Okay.
So the 49ers really have all the power here, and all Robbie can do is threaten to hold out.
Sickened by the entire thing.
I know.
First running back taken tonight, Adam.
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe Justice Hill.
Okay.
No, so he won't be there.
Or David Montgomery from Iowa State.
The thing about, Henderson from Memphis.
I was about to make this point. The thing about all these running backs is they're all different in little ways, mm-hmm. and I have not been able to figure out over these last few months who's really at the top other than Josh Jacobs, who got picked last night, the running back out of Alabama. So, mm-hmm. There's going to be one team that really likes one guy, and there's going to be another team that really likes this other guy, and that makes the whole thing really unpredictable, which, again, if the Bears are in love with one guy, let's just say it's Miles Sanders out of Penn State, just for example, and that guy is still available towards the end of the second round, but the Bears don't think he's going to get to number 87, which is where their pick is right now, I could see them making a move up for running back or really any position, the way Ryan Pace – just Ryan Pace, you
when
can't
he wants a guy, he gets
a guy,
period.
And,
you know?
And that's what's exciting about the Bears general manager right
now. And look what he did in the Mac trade. Even Mitch Trubisky, I know people were critical of them giving up all those picks to move up one to get Trubisky. Yeah. But look, when he identifies a guy, he goes and gets him.
Hey, I just want to say, as a TV show, without the strange disappearance of Lee Corso, which has me very worried. Lee Corso is like a relative or something to me. He's like one of those guys that he's like, I always look forward. Oh, in the fall, we're going to see Uncle Lee again. You know, it's like, I fear the day that I pick up my phone in the morning and I see a push notification about Lee Corso. Broadcaster, former college coach, and then I don't want to, I don't want to hear about that. But anyway, so the point is, I thought it was fascinating how much they have made this into a spectacle, the thing the ABC show was trying to do wasn't really about X's and O's of football; it was about dreams come true. It was very Disney. It was like this idea that these guys, I mean, there was, one of these kids, grew up in the back seat of his dad's car, right? His dad took custody of five kids and didn't have a home to live in.
Oh,
this kid went late in.
It was Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, it was Josh Jacobs, actually. Yeah, from Alabama.
What a story.
He said, he didn't have a bed until he went to college.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, think about that.
Yeah.
About that.
I agree. I thought all the coverage last night was really, really good. I enjoyed the whole thing.
It's crazy. They spread it out over three channels.
Three channels. 11 million
people tuned in. And let's think about the 200,000 people that stood out there in the rain to listen to a guy announce picks on a stage. Like, what are you even doing out there? But they're all out there having fun, apparently.
That is NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Boo.
Hey, Adam, we've been busting.
Right, we got to go. Oh, we gotta go. Kevin, right. Whose show is this?
It's the Rogue Concho that Advantes.
Right. All right. Thank you. And what do I thank you? Goodbye. For caller number 15, what do I have right now, Kevin?
You have White Sox.
Now, I don't want to hear from you. Lauren, what do I have right now for caller number 15?
Now I'm afraid to even speak. I don't want to get yelled at. But you have tickets to the White Sox game and to hang out with, me and Kevin.
Right.
You don't get those tickets, but you should just.
Right. We are all brought to us by our dear friends at CH Vodka. Caller number 15, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Stop by Cork and Carry before the game next Thursday night. Meet Kevin and meet Laura and join the parade as they go over, too.
And Lauren. You just call her Laura.
Wow.
Whatever.
Hey, yeah. Where's the buzzer? That was wrong. That was incorrect. Lauren, please call him out on that.
Fact
that was
him.
Egregious.
I mean, all right.
You didn't get the show staffers' names right?
I barely have met these people. So Kevin and Laura. There's too many N sounds.
That's the problem.
Anyway, the point here is you can go meet them and then watch them parade you over to the stadium on Thursday night. And maybe Anna and I will be there when they get there. We'll see what happens. See what goes on.
It'll be fun.
All right. Right now, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up?
It may not be Christmas in July, but there will be lots of snow in late April.
Do I have to tell you something else here now? Yes, I do. I have to tell you that Kim Gordon is going to be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. We got a Carnival Wagon going to roll. We got Jim Peterick going to play some live music for us during Live Music Friday. We've got it's a full Friday now. All hilarity and goofiness ensues. Not that it hasn't already today, because I'm having a little bit of trouble.
I'll say.
I almost flooded myself today. I almost drowned in my own.
Spill cock? What was it called?
It's a silcock.
Okay.
My
that was the problem.
Right. My silcock got a busty boo inside of it. And you don't, and you know what? Do you realize how, you know how sad you are when that happens? And people who've had their silk cock have a busty boo. They'll know. They'll tell you. Totally. They'll tell you all about it.
Sounds serious.
Yes, it really was. Bro Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I don't know the call letters anymore. What did I do to myself? You know, the Carnarvon wagon today.
Mm-hmm. Has not yet rolled. We should make that clear.
Right.
Some people might think, did you start it early today?
I'm having a totally Corso moment here. This is the Carnarvon wagon has not rolled. For me, at least personally. I can't speak for everybody. Kevin was sniffing around the Carnarvon wagon bartender a little bit earlier. They are here from Two Lights. Now, Two Lights' sister restaurant is Tortoise Supper Club.
Oh, we had a great night there the other night.
We had a night there the other night.
Well, for their part, it was great. My part was clumsy.
I don't know if they would describe their night as great. We'll talk to the owners about it. We ended up closing the place down, and I think that at least the boys might have made asses out of themselves. I'm not sure. It was what it was.
Well, Anna and Lauren started debating Game of Thrones theories, and next thing you know, Anna's throwing her glass of wine at Lauren. We had to break them up.
Right. Well, that didn't really happen, but sort of. Some things are true in that story.
Did Lauren get doused with your wine? That's the question. All right.
I felt
that's
so
all,
bad about it.
That's all you need to know.
Half a red, white, and black skirt, and then the other half was red wine. And white.
Oh, gosh.
Or white and black.
It was for the Blackhawks. Anyway, the point
that we
would like to make to the people from Tortoise Supper Club is we're very sorry. For everything
you
that
did
happened
your part,
night.
We didn't really
right.
do ours.
So there you go. And we should
and
not
was delicious.
We should not be allowed out in this formation because Kim couldn't go at the last minute. And I think if Kim were there, we would not have had this problem.
What am I, the warden?
Yeah.
The warden.
Well, you act in a presentable way, and you know the rest of us not so much. You know, there's that. So all right, let's get to this, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, well, we can, but I got to do this first. Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at...
number five.
All right, so the president was on his way to the NRA rally today to make a big speech.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped to talk to reporters, as he likes to do, on his way to the helicopter, and asked about North Korea.
When I came here, there were nuclear tests, missile tests, rocket tests. We got our hostages back. We got remains back and continue to come back from the war. Our great heroes, the remains. There's been no test. There's been no nothing. I appreciate that Russia and China is helping us, and China is helping us because I think they want to. They don't need nuclear weapons right next to their country. But I also think they're helping us because of the fact that we're in a trade deal, which, by the way, is going very well.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a rocket test this week? There was indeed a rocket test this week. Wasn't the return of the hostage a guy who died 6 days after he got here to the United States? Now, he also denied it that he paid $2 million
right,
to get out of warm beer bag.
There was a story that North Korea actually billed the U.S. and that it was paid by the U.S. the $2 million for his medical care, even though he was returned in a coma and eventually died. Mm-hmm. The president disputes that. He says that there's no money paid.
So there was that. So it's just a little bit of the, you know, I know he can say it, but if he says it, and then it gets corrected. The people who like him go, well, why are you correcting him? Well, because what he said wasn't right. And they go, well, what, isn't that wrong? No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong.
Sounds like our night at the supper club now.
checking in at
number four.
That's exactly what happened. No, you're wrong. No, you're right. Wait, who's right?
Someone was right.
And then Kevin the whole time was like, what is wrong with you people?
Why do you like Game of Thrones so much? It's not really, who cares?
Former Vice President Joe Biden defended his conduct with women on Friday in his first sit-down interview since announcing his 2020 candidacy. Sonny Hostin brought up the controversy because, you know, he's a hair sniffer. and a little bit of like a wet cheek kisser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he puts the kiss on the cheek as a little bit of a linger. Not your dry, snappy cheek kiss, but more of like there might be some licking of the cheek before you're all said and done.
And some women were okay with it. Some women were not, turns out.
Here's the deal. I have to be, and everybody has to be, much more aware of the private space of men and women. It's not just women, but primarily women. And I am much more cognizant of that. But I am so, like, for example, I actually thought in my head when I walked out here. I mean, do I...
I know. It's,
we're friends.
It's tricky.
No, but I have to be aware of it. So I have to be more cognizant. We all have to be more. A woman or a man has a right to say, particularly women, say, no, this is not my space. And they shouldn't have to say no. I should be able to read better.
Right. And he went on to point out that he's not accused of, no one's saying he's a sexual harasser or a sexual assaulter. Just that issue that has been raised. And I felt he answered that fairly well.
I say just go with the fist bump the whole time. Going with the, you know.
Like Howie Mandel.
Yes.
Like hygiene freaks do when they don't want to shake your hand.
Or you go out with the fake hands like I do. You just walk out, you use just rubber hands. I do that just because a hypochondriacal move. And, you know, anti-disease vector kind of a thing. And then you just wave. Or like the big clown hands. Oven mitts work, I think, kind of nicely. You duct tape oven mitts to the, you know.
You could do a Game of Thrones thing where you have the actual, like, iron hand, or gold hand?
The gold hand.
Jamie's got.
And then, or maybe just put him on a straitjacket so he can't actually get his arms out and he can't get up. You know, he would topple over if he tried to sniff somebody's hair.
These are all things that would make me back away even further.
See, well, that's the point. I mean, I don't know. I don't exactly know what the point is. But I don't think anybody, the funny thing about this controversy is that nobody was really accusing him of, you know, being, like, molesty, right?
No, I don't think it ever crossed into anybody making that allegation. Just that they were invading their personal space, right. And that he didn't want to be touched or kissed in that way.
Yeah. So, stop being a hugger. Stop being a toucher. Why is he? What's always with the touching?
Quit sniffing hair.
Yeah.
Nobody likes a hair sniffer.
Right, exactly. Oh, God, your hair smells so good.
What kind of shampoo do you use? What sort of product is in your hair? It smells really good.
My God, you smell good.
See, I would imagine Ted Cruz doing stuff like that. Why doesn't he ever get caught with, kind of those inappropriate things? He's so inappropriate in so many ways. Why not there?
Oh, your hair. It's so long. And it's kind of... And I think... Can I lick your split ends? They drive me crazy. And I see one split end, and I'd like to lick it and get it to be one end. Not a split, but together again. Oh, it's so delicious.
Oh, and
what kind of hairspray do you use?
Can't you tell by the licking?
The queso gets in the hair, kind of falls into the dip.
Although my tongue is stuck to the roof of my mouth after I do that, and I don't know what to do.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
God.
Would be totally different.
Yeah, see, that's a different deal.
Mm-hmm. That's
a guy that you want. That's a guy who should be in oven mitts. You know, he's wearing like the hunting jacket and oven mitts is the way that he should go to every single occasion. Oh, man. All right, we'll get you a 3, 2, 1. But first, let's check in. Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Inauguration plan set for Mayor-elect Lightfoot.
Lauren's traffic is being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Then there's this, Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN.
All right. We've worked our way up in the top 5 to
number 3.
Yeah, he might have been born in the USA, and he might be from New Jersey, but Bruce Springsteen has gone completely country for his new record.
Oh.
Had enough of heartbreaking pain. I had a little sweet spot for the rain.
Okay, now, that's very interesting because It because country has become suburban pop mm-hmm. in America. Mm-hmm. Very hot. The format, the radio format's been hot for decades now, but it's hotter more now than ever because you got different strains of it. You got the Americana strain, which is like sort of the singer-songwriter. That's a little bit of what Bruce was doing right there. Mm-hmm. Then you've got country pop, and you've got
there's a twangy version of it still. You know, like you kind of old school country.
Yep. You could find that, but then there's a less of that's just sort of like Lady Antebellum, which is just kind of a pop song,
right?
With just a little bit stringier, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So there's your Bruce Springsteen. Hello, Sunshine, is the single there, right? Okay, now so checking it out on the other side of that, while Bruce Springsteen is going country,
number two,
Taylor Swift has gotten together with Brendon Urie. She's been on Instagram for 2 weeks promoting that she's dropping a new single and a new video. And
I promise that you'll never find another like me. I know that I'm a handful, baby. You know I never think before I jump into the kind of guy the ladies want. And there's a lot of cool chicks out there. I know that I went psycho on the phone. I never leave well enough alone. And trouble's gonna follow.
There you go. So she's going like full pop. She was a country artist, right?
Sure. She started out that way.
Yeah, but now all her songs sound like that. Yeah, right. They do. Right, they have for some time.
It sounds like Marshall music, doesn't it? Like we have to march into something somewhere?
Gets you dancing.
Yeah. All right. All right, everybody, line up. We're marching.
One of these things is not like the
come on! Left!
Kind of does.
I actually think she has a music video where she is in like the baton outfit.
Yeah.
She is. Yeah. Charge. Can't remember what it is because mm-hmm. they all sound the same.
Well, there she is. Yeah, I think it's an excellent point. I don't think
they're all catchy.
Yeah, it's catchy, but if someone had said, "Oh, here's Taylor Swift's song," I go, "Is it new?" That doesn't sound like it's new to me. And this is that Panic at the Disco guy, right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's big. As far as you know.
But she's certainly evolved from when she was, like, she was on the scene, 15 or 16? Yeah. Very, very young as a true country artist.
Right. Playing she and a guitar and singing about her boyfriend. Some boy looked at her funny in eighth grade, and then he's going to take it right on the chin. I'm going to sell 15 million
songs.
Units about what a jerk you were to me.
There's some very sweet songs earlier in her career.
Well, that's one of her talents is she writes a lot of her own music.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then she was on the draft special last night, the ABC draft special. And she took everybody on a little tour of Nashville. Like, this is my high school, and they showed her, like, walking by the high school but not going in the high school. And I guess this morning they showed her going in the high school.
Maybe that's why Lee Corso left the broadcast. He had dinner plans with Taylor Swift.
Maybe that was it. Who he calls great-granddaughter.
I tried to look that up, and they just acknowledged that it happened, but that ESPN is saying that he wasn't committed for the full broadcast.
Because that's what happens. I'm not really committed for a full broadcast either, but I'm still here. I mean, you've heard the show. I'm not fully committed.
You can't get all the show members' names right today.
I can't get anything right today. It shows a lack of commitment. But I'm still here.
You're not packing up your stuff like Lee Corso and
he
storming
did.
Off.
He gathered it all up. It was like all over the table. He's like, hold on. He's like knocking guys out of the way to get it. It was the most awkward thing ever when he left the broadcast last night.
I mean, there were breaks, right? He didn't wait for a break.
No. They came back from a break. And I go, I'm leaving. And they shook everybody's hands. See you in the fall.
He can do that, though. He's Lee Corso. All right, I've had enough.
I guess that's true, but I don't know.
Still weird.
Finally.
Number one.
Okay, so bachelorette parties. The big town now for bachelorette parties is Nashville. Used to be Vegas. Nashville has really become, well, as they call it down there, Nash Vegas. And so all these bachelorettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got the one bachelorette and the shirt, and then there's another one with silly string, and then there's another one with, some sort of wildly sexual saying on their T-shirt because they had to wear it, and then, you know, and
the suckers,
right, penis necklaces and all that. They're walking up and down Broadway, literally, in Nashville. There's only one problem.
What's that?
The NFL draft is going on. And there's Patriots fans and Bills fans and a few Bears fans.
That's a clash of culture.
Cheeseheads. And some of these pass rushers are not happy about it.
It changes, like, the crowd, like, what you're here for. Like, I don't want to hang out with a bunch of football guys.
We're still planning on using Uber, and if it takes 2 hours, it takes 2 hours. It is what it is.
The person that's going to pay for this is my husband when I refuse to watch football the entire season. Like, no Super Bowl.
No.
Because you get married once.
Yep.
How often does the draft happen?
Every freaking year.
Every year.
Okay. Oh my God, break it off now. Whoever you are, sir. See some early signs of troubles there that just sort of brewing very early before the marriage.
I blame the maid of honor. How do you not research that?
Right.
How do you not know the draft is in Nashville?
Yeah. Not to mention, can you imagine if Nashville was still in the Stanley Cup playoffs and they possibly had a home game? Oh.
See? Oh.
That could have been ugly.
Right?
Realize that the NFL draft is going to be here?
No idea. Like, mind blown when we landed.
We had no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
And I think my dad's very disappointed in me that I didn't know.
When did I start planning the draft? Because I feel like I just found out about this.
I found out 3 days ago, and it made me want to cry.
Yeah, she found out and told me a few months ago, and I said, well, we already booked it. We're not changing it. We're still planning on using Uber, and if it takes 2 hours, it takes 2 hours. It is what it is.
That's...
I tried to hang myself during that last audio clip.
How at some point did not one of the husbands or somebody's boyfriend be like, oh, cool, the draft's going to be there? At
no, that's the best pimp ever.
Or they like, don't tell him.
Right. They probably all got together, don't tell him, this would be really great. They're going to call, they're going to be so mad about this.
They could have sold their plane tickets to the guys in their lives and just kind of gone somewhere else.
Plus the husband's probably pumped he doesn't have to watch football with her. Oh, that's a punishment? Cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Now, she thinks she's going to get him to not watch football.
Oh. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, look out for that. That's always fun in the first year of marriage. But there is this other thing, too. Some of these girls, some of these bachelorettes, mm-hmm. At the bachelorette party, maybe not the bachelorette herself, although maybe one or two, there are some studs down there in Nashville right now who may have just dropped to the third round and might be a little depressed.
Wait, millionaire professional athletes are wandering around?
So before the guys get all like, oh, cool, that's a pimp, wait till she comes home.
Honey, I left you for Kyler Murray. You may have heard of him. A Heisman-winning quarterback who just got drafted number one. Gotta go. We had a good run, honey. Bye.
Yeah, see you later.
The top five at five.
To alcohol. The cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
You say you want a leader, but you can't even make up your mind.
Oh, no.
Isn't that Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, the drunk Nicolas Cage. See, now this is where alcohol creates a problem. See, it is the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. And that's just that was a causal thing. That was kind of a bad cause moment right there. But this is a good cause moment. Because if you do it in moderation,
that's right.
As you know, we're very well known for on this show.
We are.
That's the one thing that we teach here on this program is always, if you're going to have alcohol, do it in complete moderation. And as Megan Addington will tell you, who is the proprietor of not only the beautiful new Two Lights Seafood and Oyster on North Avenue in Chicago, but she's also been the proprietor for the last decade of Tortoise Supper Club in downtown Chicago on State Street. And as
my husband is at work right now, and I'm getting all of the props.
Yes, I know. Well,
who cares about him?
He's pretty great.
Yeah, whatever. And the point is that What had happened was on Tuesday night, we just thought, hey, well, you know, we're just going to go out for, you know, quick dinner as a show.
Cause sounded fun.
I texted Megan. I'm like, hey, we're coming into your joint. And, you know, Tuesday nights are, you know, generally in downtown Chicago, if there's going to be a softer night than others, Tuesday's generally it. And we thought we'd just kind of go in, quick dinner, and get out. Right. That was the idea. Was that
right.
the idea?
And we were super excited when you suggested it. You're like, okay, let's go.
We thought maybe you would try two lights.
Yes. Well, we should. Well, actually, it's probably better because you probably have better because the
better lighting in there.
Yeah, they're right. This is
that would have been a problem for us
if people had seen what we had done by the end of the I mean, there were things that were broken. There were things.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that was on me.
Yeah,
we have a lot of windows. You know?
Yeah. I talk with my hands, and unfortunately, the glass wasn't cooperating.
I mean, it looked like she threw it at Lauren. I thought she kind of wound up like a starting pitcher, and she threw it right at Lauren.
It was brand new.
It was about there was a Game of Thrones controversy, and the next thing you know, people started swinging, and Richard Roper had to jump in. It got very weird very fast, but
the meal was delicious.
But you were comfortable.
We were comfortable, and that is one of the sexiest places in America, Tortoise Supper Club. And now,
and the bar, too. I love it.
You have opened two lights, and explain what that is.
Two Lights Seafood and Oyster. Well, so every summer, Keen and I go to Maine, and it's a pretty remarkable beach vacation. And we just fell in love with it. And when we decided to open a second restaurant, we specifically wanted to take this Maine vacation and bring it to Chicago. So thus became Two Lights Seafood and Oyster in Old Town. And it's pretty, you know, the rocky coast, salt water. You know, our typical day in Maine starts with, you know, walk on the beach, maybe a run, you know, activities.
Do we have to do that when we go to the restaurant?
No.
I don't have to walk on a beach, right?
But long about 5 o'clock, oysters are happening, cocktails are happening, and you're like, you know what? Let's just hit the whole reset button on this year with this vacation. And that's what Two Lights is. It's kind of a reminder to hit the little reset button. It feels very summery.
There's something about those East Coast, summery. Like these East Coast seafood places where it just gives you such a wonderful feeling that they can be somewhat casual, even though the food is so tremendously good, and you just feel comfortable, and it looks like that's what you're presenting.
Well,
here.
We're definitely a great seafood restaurant, small plate seafood restaurant. The craft cocktail program is absolutely out of this world. We actually found this amazing partner in Maine, Chris Gatchell, our general manager. We may or may not we met his wife, and then she said, you need to meet my husband, and we went to his cocktail bar in Maine. And
the rest was history.
The
rest was alcohol and gastronomic history.
How do you feel about living in Old Town?
You got her to come here.
Yeah.
Him.
Him. Oh, yeah, it's you.
That's me. I'm way up here. Yeah.
The mastermind behind the cocktails.
How cool is that? How do you like Chicago from coming from that background?
You know, I love Chicago. I grew up on a small lake and lived near the ocean most
of my life. There's a little lake over here, by the way.
There's a little one. It's all right.
A nice lake. You like our lake? It's not frozen anymore.
It's not bad.
We'll be frozen tomorrow, about 4, though.
That's right. No, I love Chicago. Obviously, amazing food and beverage tradeway in the country.
Yeah.
Really wonderful guest. You know, our neighborhood, what's really great about Two Lights is that it's also more of a family restaurant. We're also a family-owned and operated company. So that's been really great. So we're also child-friendly as much as, you know, there's still some
drinky
of that
booze.
In there.
Well, let me just explain something, that someone has to push the stroller home. That you are in a total stroller neighborhood.
Correct.
You are.
You're in Old Town.
I can fit in the stroller.
Yeah. And you're right in the middle of the real Old Town. You know, people say Old Town and they mean other things. But you're at North Avenue, just west of Wells,
right,
and so just to the north of you is that real Old Town where the little old houses, and you can get lost in those streets. Some of those streets don't even have cars on them because they can't support the weight. I mean, it's like it is crazy, and that's a beautiful part of the world. Yes. There's a lot of young families there, and then on the south end of where you are, also townhouses and stuff like that have gone up in buildings, and so it's like a perfect thing. And then if you go now, let me just ask you this though. There's a parking garage across the street from you, right?
Right across the street, yes.
Yeah, so that's
where street parking's easy enough during, during the evening. But speaking to the family neighborhood now, so our kids' school is Immaculate Conception St. Joseph, and it's down the block. And so, what is that?
That's a plug. Yeah.
Well, whatever. Okay, so it's a school, and there are like three schools in that neighborhood. And at 3 o'clock every day, my second grader doesn't get in my car for pickup. He runs down the street to see Chris at the end of the restaurant. Yeah.
To remind me that I'm also not the boss, too. He did say that the other day, which is completely fine. You're not the boss of me. No, he's trying to show off for the lady.
There's nothing in any way disturbing about the... How old is he?
Eight.
The eight-year-old running to a bar right after school. That's exactly how I started.
Oh, yeah.
That is exactly. And that's. I'm telling you, I'm right here, and we're still pushing.
I'm feeling good about his future at this point.
You should. Yeah. You should. You really should. And it is. It is a great. It's a great concept. You guys are great restaurateurs.
Oh,
I mean, amazing restaurateurs.
You get it all right.
Because you want the experience to be, you're selling a dream every time you walk in, right?
We're just trying to be who we are.
Okay, stop it. The funny thing, and I'm just going to go back to Torres for 1 second here, because you walk through there, and it is like those old supper clubs of Chicago. And it touches on people who grew up in Chicago, especially people who, downtown, might have, been to the Saddle and Sickle Club or to, one of those big old castle clubs down in the Loop. It takes you back into that. And now what you're doing is you're giving everybody like a summer beach house to go to on North Avenue, just blocks off of North Avenue Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there's a big neon reset sign on the wall as a little reminder. And it's in bright neon just in case you forget that you're there to reset.
All right, so let's talk about the cocktails. Because I just had this. The old fashioned.
Yeah.
Which is very, the funny thing about the old fashioned is it's totally back.
Yeah.
I thought the Mad Men was going to bring it back. It took another 10 years, and now it's totally
it is
back.
It did. With the old-fashioned, a lot of people with the old-fashioned, much like how the cocktail culture in the late 1980s was all sugar. We were just talking about this as we were building all sugar and all these additives. The old-fashioned is very simple. It's simple, but it's so easy to get wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to be a fruit cocktail for whatever reason that became a thing. So people want to muddle half an orange and, a pail of maraschino cherries and, maybe a little bit of booze in there.
It's whiskey and sugar, isn't it? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. Whiskey, sugar, and bitters. And so ours is Percy and Small Old Fashioned. Percy and Small was a old wooden ship repair yard back in Bath, Maine. It's now the home of Maine Maritime Museum. Percy and Persimmon, kind of get lame on that, but persimmons are really great in the Midwest, and that's your bitter additive. So this is a slightly lighter bodied old fashioned, but still
it's not terribly sugary. So one thing about the old fashioned, that's where you can really get it wrong. If you add too much sugar, then all of a sudden it's like super sweet, and there's sexism in this.
That's why you're a Manhattan guy.
I am a Manhattan. thank you. She's one of the many restaurateurs and bartenders who knows when I walk in exactly what I'm going to be having when I arrive. There's some places it's a martini, most places it's Manhattan, but they know exactly, and they know the wine, they know the whole deal.
They tee it up.
Right. It's I'm like Norm from Cheers in 40 restaurants in Chicago and bars.
But have you ever been anywhere where you walk in and they say, "There's Ro, he's a Cosmo"?
Never once.
No.
Has that ever happened.
Just wondering.
Yes. Thank you, though, for asking.
I like pink drinks. I mean, nice Cosmo's nice Cosmo.
I've told this story a million times. I knew this guy as an old-time Chicago, sort of a rough-and-tumble figure.
Right.
Well-known rough-and-tumble figure.
Love it.
And I used to, every once in a while, go have lunch with him or go have dinner with him. And, get invited in. What are you doing for lunch? I'm sitting in a car for you. It's like stuff like that. Then a car would show up, and I'd get in the car, and I'd go, and he'd be sitting there, and again, recognizable, gruff guy, and you look in his eyes, and you think, he's killed somebody. I don't know who.
I don't want to know everything he's done.
Right. And he's got a Cosmo sitting in front of him.
Yes.
Yes.
That happens.
Well, but that's at lunch.
He's ramping up.
Right, exactly.
For dinner.
This is my breakfast.
I know we got to get to the other cocktail, but we also have a caller. And it's kind of about the chowder, because it is surprisingly hard in the Midwest to get great East Coast chowder clam chowder.
Right.
And the caller wanted to know about potatoes. Do you put potatoes in there? What's in your clam chowder? Like, how do you make it authentic?
Yeah. One of the biggest things with clam chowder is make sure you're not going too heavy on the cream. So we use a lot of heavy cream and that as well. But we use Yukon Gold potatoes.
Mm.
And then we actually steam clams. So we don't bring in like pre-packaged seafood. We actually bring in like clams that we steam ourselves and then cut down and age. So
you can taste the difference.
You can taste the difference. Mm. And it really shouldn't be, if you could kind of think of, if a clam chowder should not be something you can substitute a spackle. It should still have like a little bit of bit of a lighter body to it. That and it's just you know, we're very fortunate. Chef Aaron Browning, who is head chef at Tortoise, he's also our programming chef at Two Lights. Really excellent recipe. And I'll admit, you know, it's the same recipe my dad made back east.
How cool is that?
It would be as tight. My dad would throw some bacon ends in there on every now and again, but that's the but we use Yukon Gold potatoes for that.
Beautiful thing.
And at brunch, we have a biscuits and clam chowder gravy.
I saw that. That just sounds super yummy. So fabulous. Biscuits and clam chowder gravy.
It's not for the keto people, but you know.
Right. So now that's the other thing.
This is also a drink. They can have some oysters.
Yeah, right. Right. If you want to go keto, you can go keto, though, right? Because you can easily. just go fish. And that's what you're supposed to do on the keto anyway.
That's right.
Instead of a porterhouse. I believe in the porterhouse keto, which is called the South Beach diet.
And keto how you feel. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
Keto a tortoise.
Don't anybody move. Two Lights Seafood and Oyster is here. They're rolling out the Carnarvon wagon. And again, we're paying off a bar bill and a debt like you've never seen before.
And I think we should have an apology letter for them, too. Just a little note.
I've already.
So you did that?
Kevin's
already given us a note.
Authored a note. And we've got some. We have some fine gifts for you and everything on the way out, including new glassware, a chair.
Yes.
A table.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And a window.
Yes.
And a request for the surveillance camera video.
Exactly. It's the only thing we're really going to need back from you in exchange for all of this. Yes.
We need to seal that video.
Yes, exactly. This is the only. It's
Robert Kraft's attorneys are helping us out with this.
Are the only people who need a video back like right now.
The only secret you don't know is that you don't have to be a radio star to keep it quiet. A tortoise. What happens? A tortoise stays a tortoise.
Oh, thank God.
Good really? To know.
Not after what happened there that night. All right, stay right here. We'll be right back. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the news?
Rose, state lawmakers have lots of questions about the death of 5-year-old A.J. Friend.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Kim Gordon for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Two Lights Seafood and Oyster is here.
Yes.
Carnarvon Wagon is rolling. And I would just like to say, after the first old-fashioned, I don't know what you did. I don't know what you people did to me. But it's something similar to what you did to me on Tuesday night. I'm going out to host a black tie event tonight.
Oh, yay.
Yes, and that's gonna be a moment when I get up there.
When they say, what is wrong with you? Just say, two lights.
What are you people doing here? I just want to say I have had a great afternoon. Could be something.
So. A Nicolas Cage moment.
Yes, I could.
Breaking into song.
Purple rain, purple rain.
All right.
Did
Pass
you want to tell
bell.
Us something?
Tell us. Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you were looking at script like
No, I was looking at the menu for Two Lights actually, and salivating is what I was doing because it's like amazing. Shrimp fritters, you've got the pow bang shrimp, which just sounds
like
yummy,
my favorite thing.
And chili sauce and sesame seeds, pickled ginger. It's like I can see it going with my mom and my sisters and my husband, and like everybody finds something. It's one of those menus, right? Apple Dutch baby pancake for brunch.
There you go.
Bacon.
Are you open for brunch?
Saturdays and Sundays, yeah.
Saturdays and Sundays now. Mm-hmm. Like the whole thing.
Last Saturday was our first brunch.
Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, there's gonna be snowing on your brunch now tomorrow, but don't worry about it, Chris. Welcome to Chicago. It's all good. Like the weather's so great in Maine. What are you worried about?
That's all right.
You're across from Second City. I know Robert mentioned the location before, but a lot of people might be going to Second City and think, where am I going to go? This is where you want to go, right? Check it out, whether it's an afternoon or an evening. Doesn't matter. You're open.
Yeah, or go to Old Town Ale House at 4 a.m. You know, you can also do that. One of the few places that there 4 a.m.
That's never happened.
I've never done that. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I think the nice piece of this, too, is that for people, especially in the neighborhood, I mean, Well Street has become quite a scene, right? I mean, Well Street has got its own kind of, you know, there's a lot of D-bags and hat to the back kind of guys.
Call that a market for it. So.
Yeah. So there's that goes on. And if you like, you want to come down, you want to go to Second City, you don't want to go, like, you know, fight with the roided up people at some of those bars, you can go around the corner and you get this beautiful, like, as you pointed out, this like total seafood respite, beautiful like beach vacation.
Summery,
like,
I mean, if anything's clear about that, it's the fact that we do not actually have a TV.
Right.
Oh. So you are forced to converse with the person that you're
Kevin,
with or your bartender.
We're not going there for the draft tonight.
Yeah, they will not be airing the draft.
However, if you're trying to go somewhere to potentially pick up a date or take a date.
Maybe take a date.
I would recommend
that. Bro, we're
that
going
as well.
There to find the seats. I don't care about the draft.
Hello, ladies. I just came back from a black tie. And I want to say one thing. We ruined their other restaurant. Yeah.
And we're ready to do it here.
They have clam chowder here. I don't know if you knew that.
Where's the clam chowder?
All right. Two Lights Seafood and Oyster, which is at 227 West North Avenue. Like North and Wells, you'll find. Just West of Wells on North Avenue.
It's right there.
On the south side of the street. You cannot miss it. I mean, beautiful room.
Another great landmark. As you mentioned, Old Town Ale House. Yeah. Before we had opened, Chris was that used it as his office pre-opening, and he actually received mail there once, and they said, "Oh, this is for Oyster Bar Chris." So Old Town Ale House is a good
what a fun introduction.
Well.
Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way right after. That can mean only one thing, right there.
It does, sure does.
The great Jim Peterick is here, my musical director. Man, who has played more live shows with me than any other human being, including all my different partners over the years. It's probably true, is it not?
And the last one was the best one of all, man.
Oh, so
you know,
good.
With Tom Skillian on stage with a singing vehicle and all these people that crammed into that place. Magical.
And really. Then the place burned down a week later, which was
right.
The most amazing thing.
Not that night, thankfully.
Right.
And I think it's all up and going again. So
they rebuilt, but it was a great time, man.
Yeah,
loved
we,
it.
We have had some times over the years. I don't wish to talk about the number of years we've been doing this. So let's talk about something different.
20. Any what? What?
That's the problem. Brought up the number. I wish you had not done
that. Sorry.
All right. So it's our 20th anniversary together, Jim Peterick and the Ides of March, when we go out with the Ides generally, right?
Right.
We've done that.
Yep.
So you've got a couple shows coming up.
Yep.
We should talk about, first of all, the Ides of March are going to be at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan for, and is there a better place than the Michigan coast?
No.
It's California in the Midwest, is
that's,
it not?
That's what I'm thinking. You know, and that club, it's really a concert theater. It reminds me of the winery only, you know, in Michigan. Very intimate, beautiful seating, great sound. I love that theater, the Acorn Theater. David,
and that's May 4th.
May 4th, Saturday night, yeah. And we're doing a two-set format, much like we did at the winery. First set, acoustic and storytelling, you know, telling lies, you know. And all
oh,
that.
My God, do you tell lies?
I know. I try.
Yeah.
But they're so believable.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, the believable stuff is because it's all provable, and you've got the checks to prove it and the Lamborghini to prove it.
I know.
You've written all those songs.
Well,
the lies are exactly how they were immediately received versus the fact that they have lived on forever.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, I've been really, really lucky. And then the second set, we come on with the electric guitars and the brass and just like kill it, man. And do the new songs from Play On, which is about to come out in about a month. And
because this is an anniversary for the Ides of March. I don't want you to say what the anniversary is. It's just an anniversary.
Look,
an
I'm proud
anniversary.
Of it. 55 years,
oh,
man.
How about that?
I'm going to be 55
Jim.
Years old.
I know. Mm-hmm. We formed in 1964.
Are you my father?
Do the math.
You might be.
This is awkward.
No,
very awkward.
It's weird.
It's getting really weird.
Sometimes there's a lot of questions.
Well, there are questions, but I don't think so.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Well, there are tests for that, people.
You
can go on, Maury.
You know what? I am going to get a DNA test. I'm going to have him drink something, take a swab of it, and then declare myself his child so I can get in on the vehicle money. That's what I want.
Because
what is it? Nissan,
a piece of
right?
Lamborghini.
Is it Acura.
Acura.
Their hottest new car.
Yes.
Just use your song. How many times have you sold vehicles?
Oh, God. We sold about 100 vehicles in our time.
100 different times
different,
you've sold
different
the song.
Different
car companies
and,
for different promotions.
Yeah, different things. And, of course, I have the Tiger now is Dodge Ram Trucks. You know?
Wow.
And
you do need to get in on this.
Even on the road? What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
You know what? I love it.
You love the live performing.
I
you
love
can tell.
Performing.
You can
I'm
tell.
A born ham.
That's true. And if he's got purple hair, where else is he going to go?
Well, that's true.
That's a problem. All right. What do you want to do for us?
Well, you were at the winery when Kathy Richardson of Jefferson Starship came up and we did this song. Kathy's not here today. She could not be here. But I would love to do the song. And,
can I say something about Kathy Richardson?
You may.
For just a moment? If the Ides are going to be anywhere with Kathy Richardson, you have got to see this. Kathy Richardson now is Grace Slick.
Yeah.
She is taking over that role with Jefferson Starship. She is one of the greatest voices in rock and roll ever. You know, sometimes you watch these reality shows or these contest shows and stuff, and you're like, oh my God, that person just sounds just like what? Kathy Richardson is a bona fide badass rock star.
Yeah.
You've got to see her wherever she is.
And it's not just the voice. She sings with her whole body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She just becomes this other thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So you're gonna do the song. You're gonna pretend you're her.
Can I go back here with the reverb?
Yeah, please go back there. I'm going to give you a little set of beats. He's going to like this. Right, I'm going to make it kind of wet for you here. Do you like that?
Oh, come on.
Now, what? That's not what that means.
This sounds wrong.
That is wrong.
But, you know, this is the first time I've played this live, period. Okay? Ooh. So bear with me. Here we go.
Okay.
Blue Storm Rising.
Jim, in just a second, but first, Kim, what's coming up in the newsroom?
Roe, two cases of Legionnaires' disease reported at a Chicago hospital.
And then there's this. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Tuning in the latest star from the dashboard of my car. I'm cruising at 7, push button heaven, capturing memories from afar in my car. That's why God made the radio.
Alright, there is Jim Peterick sucking up to the radio industry so he can get some radio play. Isn't that exactly why you wrote that song?
Absolutely. I wrote that with Brian Wilson, Larry Millis, and Joe Thomas, and it immediately went on the radio coast to coast, went to number one, Beach Boys' first number one in like 20, 30 years.
Okay.
Genius.
So let me just, I have to blow the lid off of this. I'm like 60 Minutes. I'm the Mike Wallace of rock and roll.
Please.
But in fact,
here we go.
But in fact, you only wrote that to be on the radio, didn't you? Like radio. Think of all the songs that have radio in the title.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would work their way into radio promos.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that was the whole point.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody learned. I don't know, with like the 1960s, it was like, you know, Don Draper figured it out and they worked it into whatever it was, whatever was going to happen.
Radio is the greatest.
It is.
It is. I mean, that's why we wrote the song. Sitting with Brian Wilson over some shrimp, and I said, you know, still, nothing sounds as good as a song coming out of the dashboard on the AM radio. And he kind of threw gulps of shrimp. He said, yeah, that's why God made the radio. I wrote it down.
Oh,
we wrote
wow.
the song.
There you go.
But it's true. I still remember the first time I heard Vehicle going down I-55. New. And guess who it was? Dick Biondi.
And we should mention this because you are going to be. We were just actually talking with Joe Farina, who is Dennis Farina's son. He's done this film. He's produced
and
this
Pam
film.
Police, the documentary on the woman who's behind it.
That's right. And lovely Carolyn, who is producing.
They've done this Biondi film, and there's going to be on Sunday, 115 Bourbon Street. You're going to be out there. There's a bunch of
New
bands.
Colony Six, yeah. Carl Giammarisi, Dennis Tufano. Those two haven't been together on a stage for years. It's kind of historic. Mm. The $100 Quartet with Scott May, the Meteors, and who knows who's going to show up.
And it's a fundraiser so they can get the film finished.
It is.
And it's an honor to Dick Biondi.
Actually, a live auction where I'm going to be auctioning off a signed guitar. Everyone who's there will be on this guitar.
Okay,
we hope to raise a lot of money.
115 awesome. Bourbon Street's in the afternoon.
Yeah, it starts at like 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, right. Yeah. So go out to 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park.
We are paying homage to Dick Biondi, who started us all.
And don't forget, Acorn Theater, Three Oaks, Michigan, The Ides of March, going to be there May 4th, 8 o'clock show, $35 at the door. It's a steal, my friends. That is one of the great shows you're going to see in Chicago.
Oh, man.
This entire summer. Take us out, would you?
All right. We'll be playing this little medley here by my friend's 38 special, those wild-eyed Southern boys. You see it all around you, good loving gone bad. And usually it's too late when you realize what you had. Yeah, my mind goes back to the girl I met long years ago, who told me just hold on loosely, but don't let go. Now if you cling too tightly, you're gonna lose control. Your baby needs someone to believe in, a whole lot of space to breathe in. Ha ha ha. It's not the same song, it just sounds like it.
I didn't realize that was the lyric, but go ahead.
I never knew there'd come a day when I'd be saying to you, don't let this good love slip away. Now that we know that it's true, don't you know the kind of man I am? Said I'd never fall in love again, but it's real and the feeling comes shining through. Everybody sing along. I'm so caught up in you, little girl. You're the one that's got me down on my knees. So caught up in you, little girl. And I never want to get myself free. And baby, it's true, you're the one who caught me. Baby, you got me so caught up in you.
Yeah!
That's the 80s, baby.
Give us one more. One more!
All right. I'm the friend, the stranger in the black sedan. You hop inside my car. I got pictures, got candy. I'm a lovable man. Take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman. You know I love you, Ro. Hey, that rhymes. That I love you.
Creepy.
I need you. I want you, got to have your child. You're a God in heaven. You know I love you. Ba-da-ba-ba-da.
There he is, the great Jim Peterick. Do not miss Jim. Three Oaks, Michigan, May 4th.
Yeah, maybe. Saturday night.
Right, and at the Acorn Theater.
Oh, and there's a time change, so get there early.
Oh, right.
Instead of 8 o'clock.
7 o'clock here.
Pretend it's 7 o'clock here.
7 o'clock here, right.
That's very important.
Incredibly important. Thank you for mentioning that.
I hate that.
And please, if you can, if you've got time, and you want to do this on Sunday afternoon, Marionette Park, you get out to 115 Bourbon Street. And this is a fundraiser for the Dick Biondi film.
Documentary.
And if there's ever been a guy in radio who deserves to have a documentary made about him, it's Dick Biondi.
Dick. tick, tick, tick.
That was something totally different.
We're not getting
You know, that one never took off. I don't know why. Kim Gordon has got the WGN News, and then it's White Sox baseball. They take on Detroit. Kim.